Hello, and welcome to a convention spotlight episode on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be talking about a convention I recently attended. It is Friday at about 8:30. We are back at the hotel after a long day at the convention center. I don't know about you, but it was hard to get up this morning.
It was.
Matter of fact, I think slept through the alarm.
You tried to.
I at least convinced you to let us roll over and each get a little more sleep. That's the hard part of negotiating when you're sharing a hotel room with somebody is, how late do y'all stay up? And because it's easy to talk too late in the evening like we do when we record. And then just how early do we got to get up?
Well, and we negotiated the getting up time based on the first panel that looked good.
First panel, how long it'll take to get over there, how long breakfast lasts at the hotel, just how tired are we? It's a complex mathematical equation.
Well, we, by sleeping a little later than yesterday, not on purpose, that meant we departed later than yesterday, but that seems to have meant we were behind the traffic.
Well, and I also think we were a lot more efficient this morning because I was able to get, ready pretty quick.
We were, but we were entering the gas lamp 20 to 30 minutes later than yesterday. And areas that were bumper to bumper not moving were flowing today.
Yeah. I don't know how much of that was a change in how they were handling traffic from day to day. I think there was a little of that.
There was some of that. They one area, they turned into two lanes that had been one lane. Another area, a two-way road, was just, no, if we're not letting people turn onto this road, we might as well declare it a one-way road.
Yeah. So I think they're, from day to day, making some changes and stuff, and that helps. And I think it is surprising just how much a 15-minute difference can make sometimes.
Yeah.
So we got down there. My goal had been, if I could make a 10 a.m. panel, great. If not, I'd live. Got in there. And this is one of those things that when we get to the gas lamp, there's that Fifth Street that dumps across, that's now a pedestrian mall for the duration of con, dumps over to the convention center and puts you on the east side, which is the newer side of the convention center. Panel I've been starting the day at, those are in room 2, which is over on the older side, the west side. And in previous days, I'd been going in early, taking the escalator up on the newer side. But that put me on the east side of the sales pavilion upstairs, near ballroom 20, and they would put you towards, force you to the back of the convention center, then over the room I want's at the front of the convention center. So, it added a bit of
a little zigging, zagging, and extra crowds to maneuver around as a result.
Exactly, exactly. This time what I did is I stayed downstairs, and I was a little worried when I got to the first set of escalators in the older part of the convention center, because there were blocked off for new badges and stuff like that. Fortunately, the other side was available to go up, bit of a line, because they're metering people getting on there, so there's not, a crowd problem at the top. And
that's wise.
Absolutely. It's a safety concern. Mm-hmm. And at first, I was afraid that when I got to the top, I'd get shuttled off to somewhere, but it was easy enough to make the immediate U-turn to get into the correct entry aisle or hallway to get into the room I wanted, and got in there. They were just, I think, starting to introduce Maxwell Alexander Drake.
Nice.
For one of his writing panels. And the guy who runs that room, I'm pretty sure his name's Javier, does a really good job with it. He seems happy to be doing it, making sure everyone's having a good time. Make sure people know, hey, you come in here, you go out there, you want to ask questions. Checks with the person, hey, do you want it during the panel? Do you want it at the end of the panel?
It's funny how much of a difference that can make to how organized a presentation is and how well a panelist deals. There's some panelists that they want the questions when they're relevant.
Yes.
It helps them feel like they're giving a better presentation because they know they're giving the audience what they need. And there are others that their mind is on a track of, this is what I've prepared for, And I'm afraid if you interrupt me with a question, it may be the most relevant, useful question in the universe.
But it'll throw their train of thought for the presentation.
And they'll miss a beat, and they'll be devastated that when they leave, they realize, I missed something I consider really important.
Or even if they don't, it'll throw off their timing. It's like, I've got 45 minutes of slides and 47 minutes or whatever to, or 50 to present.
Yeah.
So there's that, different styles and stuff. But Javier does a good job prepping the crowd, you know, welcome to Comic-Con, you know, and he's got another guy who helps with some of that. But then also just making sure to remind people, if you like these panels on the how-to track, let people, you know, email info@comiccon.org, let them know. That's what keeps them happening.
Yeah, a combination of that, and Comic-Con counts heads.
Yes.
They go into the rooms, the volunteers, they count the empty seats, they count the full seats, and they use that to determine, do they need a bigger room or maybe a smaller room next year?
How many empty seats? How many people do they turn away at the door? That kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Max, well, when he started the thing, you know, echoed the, hey, you appreciate these things. I'm not going to tell you what to write, but awesome, you know, wonderful, you know. A little bit of a joke, but also reinforcing the, you know. And it was funny because somebody's like, I'm on there right now. Because he was saying, you know, if I only get like five or whatever, that's still enough.
Yeah.
You know, to let people know what you like. And this was Show Your Story, I think was the title of today's. I forget what yesterday's was. Tomorrow's is like Point of View or something. And he's got two books like I talked about yesterday. He's talking a lot on these things. He's presented them at San Diego for many years running. Great speaker, good content, and incredibly actionable with specific examples. And he started the thing talking about how, you know, earlier in his career, it's like, yeah, you got something, just send it to me, I'll review it and get back to you, you know, kind of a thing. And a lot of the feedback was, you know, you're very telly, do more show. People are, oh yeah, yeah, rewrite, hand it back to him. His feedback would be basically the same, followed by, I think on the next go around, you have no idea what I mean, do you? No, nope, yeah. Not at all.
It's hard.
It is. It is. And he presented 12 very actionable things. And he started with, hey, these are my opinion. You know, if you don't agree with me, that's on you. Mm-hmm. I know I'm right. You know, but yeah. Again, a sense of humor with...
Well, but I think sometimes when we're doing a review and we say... They earned that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a way, though, of saying, leading up to this moment, they showed us the things necessary for that moment to feel real, to feel genuine, and to have the earned payoff.
Well, he made a comment early on about the difference between show or tell and show. Tell is the laundry list. Show is the laundry.
Yeah.
And it's a subtle kind of a thing. But when you start to see where he's coming from and stuff. And again, he gave very actionable, but also, frankly, misunderstandable. You know, certain things. Oh, don't use adverbs. Okay, cross, cross, cross. Boom, done. And he's like, no, this is why you want to do this. You're using adverbs to make up for bad word choices elsewhere. Pick better words there. You know, and getting to the crux of it. And it was, again, I think I saw the same one either last year or year before, probably both. It's good. It's solid. And I think everybody came out of there, maybe not with an, oh my God, aha moment, but with multiple things they could apply to their writing. Mm-hmm. So I think that was definitely a success there. And it, again, quick panel. I took, you know, wrote down all 12 of his points because why not? I've got his ebook and I recommend his stuff. He knows what he's talking about. He's a professional writer. He's given it some thought. And he's trying to share that knowledge in, I think, a great way. And one of his last points was, yeah, it's okay to tell sometimes.
You know,
it's basically know the rules and know when to break them.
Yes.
You know, you got to know the grammar to where when you want to not use it right, it's to make a point or for an effect, not just because you didn't know.
There was a story eons ago about an editor that was a stickler for perfect grammar and thought if your grammar wasn't perfect, it shouldn't be published. It was unworthy of publication and rejected it. and couldn't understand the difference between style and perfect grammar. Have you heard the story?
Maxwell made a point of written English and spoken English are effectively two different languages.
I would agree with that, because this editor, somebody got fed up with him, basically. And this editor was sent a copy of something Mark Twain had written.
I was going to say, Mark Twain could not have gotten past this guy.
Yeah. And he rejected it on the grounds of can't be published.
Yeah.
And they're like, that was one of Mark Twain's greatest works.
And the fact the guy didn't recognize it as such is another strike against him. Yeah, it was an hour well spent. Again, I'd heard the content before. I've got the books. I got partway through one of his books, got sidetracked. I need to get back to them. If you're serious about the craft of writing, there are a ton of people that you can get advice from, and he's one that, you know, walks the walk and gives it in a very, I don't say matter-of-fact kind of way. He does it in an entertaining way, but an educational way, and not just do it this way, trust me.
Yeah.
But here's a bad example, here's a better example. And he gives some that you look at it and he's like, oh, that's not so bad. Well, it sucks. Here's why. And then when he walks you through, well, you're telling us what to feel. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're not taking us on the journey, but just dropping us at the destination. You start to realize. So it was a lot of fun. Good panel. Definitely recommend the stuff. He's also got a booth down in Small Press, and I chatted with him for a little bit later in the day.
Nice.
After that was Brian Haberlin's panel on, I think this was called The Future of Comics or something like that. It was a little bit on augmented reality, touched a little on virtual reality, and also had Madefire, the company, another company that does digital comics / motion comics there. And it was more just kind of demoing kind of sort of some of the stuff they've done and can do. Touched briefly on iClone 7, Poser, Live Face, which is an app. I'm not sure if it's also Android, but I know it's at least iPhone, I think. And it was more...
Sounds like comics and tech.
Yeah. It was... He never actually... He gave a really brief demo on here's how to do some quick animation type stuff that takes, you know, an hour start to finish, get the model, you know, tweak the model, you know, use the face tech to get the face cap, boom, you're done. Kind of. In the past, he's given a little bit more hands-on... on the stuff, but he was sharing his time with Madefire. And it was the intent of the panel was not to teach you how to do things, but to open your eyes as to what can be done and how we're at a point where augmented reality seems to be taking more steps forward and more adoption than virtual reality. Because just being cut off from the real world and immersed into a digital one doesn't always work well for people, but enhancing the current reality, having things happening on the desktop in front of you that you can still see, seems to be getting a bit more traction and work better for people.
Interesting.
So that was good. He's, I guess, partnered with Wacom or whatever because they had giveaways last time, giveaways this time. And it was interesting last time. It's okay, you know, here's some trivia about his stuff. This time, a lot of the questions, although not all of them, you know, what was the first hotel Comic-Con was at? You know, stuff like that.
That's fine.
He did ask what was his current, you know, sold out comic and stuff, which of course I knew. And this time I actually jumped in and answered. So I got a copy of Clip Studio Paint Pro.
Oh, nice.
Which is what used to be Manga Studio.
Ah, okay.
So full blown version of that. Still need to actually go chat with him later because have not had an opportunity to tell him that not only have I read his first issue of Sonata, but both James and I gave it an A+.
Nice.
Not only was it just great, solid art, but nailed the storytelling start to finish, you know. So that was a fun panel. In the past, though, some of his stuff has been a lot more, here's how he does lighting in Poser, here's how he does this, you know, how to do a texture map. This year, he seemed to be a little bit more on theory and motivation than instructional.
Interesting.
Whether that was intentional or just kind of happened or was my take on it, don't know. Still good.
Yeah.
But particularly after coming out of Drake's panel where it's, here's 12 actionable things right there, you know, thump, thump, thump. Noticeable difference. Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, but different.
Different. It's just like Richard Starking's one yesterday was very, you know, here's examples of lettering, not type this in, do this, push this button kind of a thing, which wasn't what it was billed as either. So different people, different approaches. After that, it was closing in on noon. So we met up down at the Titan booth and met up with a friend of ours that we've known for...
over 20 years.
Definitely over 20 years. This is our 20th year commuting from Texas to the convention. And I'm pretty sure he rode out on the same flight as us or flight back that first year.
Yeah.
So we'd known him for a good couple of years by that point. So probably over 25. We hadn't seen him for a while. So getting a chance to catch up with him, tell him what's been going on for us this year and hear what's going on for him.
And compare how we all feel about Con now versus... and some of the comments we were making, I found myself intrigued by us and our attitudes in terms of, are we cynical? Are we jaded? Or are some of the panels legitimately aimed more at first-time attendees than those of us that have been coming 25 years?
You know, it's funny because I definitely think there's stuff aimed at both audiences, but I think more of it is first-time attendee of panel. And I phrase it that way because, like, when you were talking yesterday about the Terminator Top Gun one, it's the first time the panel's ever been done, so everybody's got that first-time aspect of the panel. The Haberlin one and both today, yesterday, and Drake's panels, while with Drake's I think there's still stuff you can get out at multiple viewings and stuff, it's pretty much the exact same slide deck he's been using for a while. Haberlin is doing a riff on the same basic stuff he's doing, different focus from year to year based on, you know, phase of moon or something. You know, whatever strikes him at the moment and it seems relevant to him or what questions come up. And there's an aspect of having been coming to this convention for forever and a day. Sometimes those still work for me, sometimes not so much. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I think Barry was saying he'd walked a bit of the floor and just nothing really jumped out. You know, and I certainly think as we get older, we've got a lot more to compare it to. I don't think that necessarily makes us more jaded. I think there are times it makes us more appreciative of a really good booth or a really good panel.
Very true.
But we've got a bigger body of work to kind of compare it to, which is not to say that that benchmark gets higher, but sometimes it gets clarified, you know, as to why something was good or not so good. And I think... all three of us were more or less on the same page of having come to this convention since it was, you know, half the size or less. Well, when we first met Barry or thereabouts, the convention center was literally half as long, and the convention did not take up all of that space.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one year it was sharing the old part of the convention center, or the convention center as it was then known, with a quilting convention.
There was that one year, and one year there was some type of auto show going on under the sales.
So definitely competition for the space and plenty of space to be had for another show to be in there at the same time. Whereas now, you couldn't get another show within miles of this convention center. There's just not space.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think we've got a lot that we can compare it to. But having a good chance to catch up with him, we... started at the Titan booth, went off site to go grab some drinks or whatever, find a quiet place to sit and chat for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as we walked out with him, I'll admit I was amazed what had happened to... I mean, I knew Fifth Street was a pedestrian mall-ish thing today, but what we've nicknamed the Holy Rollers had quadrupled in size since we walked in.
These are the... Bible thumpers of varying degrees and varying religions, and even some that aren't, I guess, really religious in some cases. But some people just want to protest whatever there is to protest.
There was one group after we
got the drinks.
Yeah, you know the group I'm thinking of.
We're going down Fifth Street. At this point, they've blocked it off as a pedestrian mall for at least 7-8 blocks. The place we were crossing, I think, was not far from where they've got the police van that has a pop up to like a third story-ish elevation lookout point to overwatch everything. But there was a group of people that were chanting their little protest chant of, we don't know why we're yelling. We don't know why we're yelling.
Exactly. Yes.
And it was just kind of funny. Well, and also as we were going to get the drinks where we had to go around the Hilton Gaslamp Hotel, there was the actual, you know, Bible thumpers of, you know, you people are sinners sort of a deal. And we're walking by and I'm getting asked, are you Jewish? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm good. Somebody was, talked to them for a little bit. It's like, okay. It's funny because
they're very low key.
I was going to say that
I love their table, actually.
Their Jewish group, we've seen them before. Mm-hmm. They're nice. They're polite. They just ask if you don't want to engage. Problem. If you do, that's great. They'll have a nice, quiet conversation. What was interesting to me was by that table in towards closer to the tracks was another tent, San Diego Police Department.
Not far away was Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And they had lots of stacks is the wrong phrasing, but these 4 foot tall things with lots of flyers facing out.
Yeah. There's an audience, let's engage and convert them or, you know, whatever. And I got nothing against any religion and such, but there comes a point where everything going on those couple of blocks, it's got nothing to do with Comic-Con. It's just, you've got a large mass of humanity, so let's take advantage of that in some way, shape, or form. Let's get our message out there regardless of what that message is. Mm. You've got everything from Panda Express, you know, having people in their mascots pushing their food.
They have a pop-up that is sampling, I've heard either one new dish or 3 new dishes that they're thinking of adding to the menu. Starbucks had a cart sampling a drink for people. Yeah, these are totally unrelated things. They're just available of, we need a test market, and hey, you're here.
And this is why a lot of locals sometimes will come and check out the area, even if they don't have a badge and don't want a badge.
Yeah.
Just go see what there is to see. See some of the people in the costumes, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So a street fair of some sort.
Well, Sci-Fi has a pop-up in a building, but they also were out in the middle of the street with trivia contests and you name it. So to me, it's rather mind-boggling. All these things happening physically on the street.
It's a unique opportunity to do both market research and kind of a study of market research.
Yes.
You know, and how advertising teams are engaging with the crowd.
Well, one person we were talking to was saying, I don't like these offsites being referred to as activations because I don't want to be activated. And they are treating me like a product.
Yes.
By saying, come to me and be activated.
I want to see somebody do a passivation. Because let's face it, by the time I get out of the convention center, I'm tired. I think we are a good couple of years past kind of peak geek for Comic-Con. There are not as many storefronts that are sold out, bought out to go be this, that, and the other. While there are still things that are grab a warehouse space and do an event there, there's not as many as there were at one point. Mm-hmm. There's not the ubiquitousness of marketing, advertising, and not trade dress, but you know what I mean? The wraps on the building and stuff like that.
Yes.
There's still plenty of it, well, but not as much as there were like 3 years ago.
There's one building that's wrapped, and when we first saw it and we read it, we're like, what show is Revolt?
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out, I mean, that's the huge most of the thing. And then down in relative and comparable fine print, it says Snowpiercer, TBS.
I think that's on the Hyatt, maybe.
Or the Marriott.
Or the Marriott, one of the ones to the west of the convention center. It would be interesting if somebody had good photo coverage of all of that kind of stuff over the last few decades.
There's been promotion for several things coming summer 2020 or after.
Yes. Well, last year there was Whiskey Cavalier promoted. You know, various things. It's like by the time it comes out, I remember something about it. And there's one of the things on the Hilton Bayfront. I couldn't make out, because it's a fancy font kind of a deal. I couldn't make out what it was.
Nobody I've talked to is sure what it is, when it is, how to find it in terms of, is it movie, is it TV?
It's 2020 is all I know.
Yeah.
So I think the effectiveness of some of this marketing is highly questioned.
Which is sad when you think of the effort and finance that went into it.
Yeah. When we finished up with Barry, we did a quick dive through the Future Tech Pavilion or whatever over at the Omni just to see if anything had changed. I did try on the glasses that are kind of a...
holographic?
I was going to say a newer Google Glass-ish sort of a thing. Different company. North might have been the company. I forget.
It's funny because when we saw those the other day as we walked away, my comment to you was I'd forgotten Google Glass was invented.
Mm-hmm. I tried them on. The first one, they're like, okay, put it on. They got a little joystick. You know the thing you'd gotten that was the ring?
Yeah.
They had something similar to that. It was the a thumb controller thing that would interact with it. And apparently it interacts with a phone to the glass through that, and you could just acknowledge, dismiss. But they're like, okay, do you see anything? I'm like, no. And I'm fiddling with the glasses. Turns out that one just wasn't fully charged.
Yeah.
They try another one, get it on there. And it's one of those that it would be showing up here, but it was hard to get just right. It was only like two lines of text or something. I like the idea, but from how they'd been talking and the display they had on the side, I was expecting a bit more of an augmented reality floating, you know, 1080p-ish display out there. That's not what they're doing. It's essentially a smart glasses version of like a smartwatch.
Okay.
Not a bad idea, but not something that I really need.
But for people who don't want to be looking down at their watch when their watch vibrates.
Yes.
More subtle, allegedly.
But for me, it was, and part of it is, it was a generic pair of glasses kind of a deal. So it gave me just a little bit of a headache, and I couldn't quite see it and keep it in the field of view just right. But, I mean, my eyes aren't great. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time there. And then from there, we headed back over to the exhibit hall, at which point we started at the east side of it over near Artist Alley, actually in Artist Alley. And I started walking the hall floor.
I'm very impressed with you, I have to say. I mean, I am not the organized, methodical person you are. I never will be. I, you know, hit a few booths here. I hit a few booths there. I willy-nilly have fun on the floor. But you methodically walk the aisles, and I respect the heck out of that.
Oh, for me, early on, it was kid in a candy store, you know, back in the 80s. There's all this cool stuff. I've got to see it all. And over the years, there's still some of that.
I thought you were going to say the candy store got bigger.
Oh, it did. Massively bigger. Easily doubled the size. And that's just the square footage, not including the second story that's the office space above the hall floor these days that we can't get to. But in some years, it's been a lot of fun because I could discover new titles, new publishers, new products, and stuff like that. And when I got to the convention center this morning, we were parking initially, the only part I'd walked was small press. When we left today, that was the only part, having already done that, that I didn't walk today.
Yeah, okay.
I walked the entire rest of the floor. And that's having spent 2 hours in the morning in panels, a bit of time with you and Barry and over at the Future Tech thing. So within...
It was about 2:30 when we hit the floor the second time.
I was going to say, within 4 hours, I'd walk the entire thing.
See, there is a part of me that is still a little bit kid in the candy store, and it's why I do the willy-nilly approach. And it's with the book publishers. And some of it is, depending on the publishers, Delray Random House now has a tablet. And I don't think I should take you to the tablet for the experience, because what they've changed it up to is instead of just walk up and be handed free book du jour, you now take what amounts to a pop quiz. Okay, and it's, do you want thrilling or adventure? Do you want assassin or thief? Do you want, forget the next question.
I was gonna say, so far, they're not sounding like radically different options.
Well, and they are, well, one was, it was assassin slash thief or princess and treasure.
Okay,
I think
that's
it was. Yeah,
different.
I mean they were more different than I'm making them sound. I admit that. But the annoying thing to me as a book reader is they were all good choices. So every time I get up to the thing, fortunately I know one of the gals at the booth, so I'm like, nobody's behind me in line, right? I can debate, think,
I can cheat.
I can wish I had all of them. She's like, yeah, you can take your time.
Yeah,
you know. And then at the end, it says, of the books we brought, the one that fits what you've gone through is, you know? And so it's kind of fun. It's a bit of a mystery. They hand you the book.
been a couple of times in past years where it's like, you can have one of these four. And often it's like, this one here sounds good. Mm-hmm. You know, other times, I don't know. Then they recommend one or something like that.
One of these four, and they're only showing the front cover? Kind of hard. One of these four, and they've got one with the back cover showing? And the problem there is, I prefer it when they have one with the back cover showing, but it slows down the line. And with so many people in con these days, they need that line to keep.
The funny thing is, I think they could do that as market research on cover and blurb. Mm-hmm. By which of these two do you like better? And it's the same book.
You know, it's funny though, because some of these book publisher booths are long enough that if you had the same books being handed out at the opposite ends of the booth, and one of them was only showing front covers and one of them was only showing back covers.
Oh, yeah.
You would be getting that. There's a way they
could figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the booths I walked up to on preview night, and I'm like, I'd like to be picking up the books that are best for an 8-year-old girl. Can you help me out? And they're like, okay, the ones we have right now are. And they handed me two of them that they were giving away at the time. They're like, come by every day. Every time I come by, they're like, oh, you came back. Great. This one will be great for you.
It's interesting because there's some booths where they clearly know their product pretty well. Oh, you want this? This is what'll fit the bill for that. Mm-hmm. There was one, I think it was when I was walking through one of the publisher booths, actually, book publisher booths today, where I overheard them saying, it's like, I know this 4-foot chunk of our booth.
Yeah.
You need help anywhere else, you're going to have to talk to them. This is what I know.
Yeah.
And again, when you've got some of these book publishers that have dozens and dozens of books of different genres, different types, different age groups, I get it.
And that's part of it is, especially in, I want to say it's Random House, there's one big island that has like 10 imprints.
Yeah.
But they've got the staff from these 10 imprints trying to help each other out. So there are times when somebody who you're 99% sure deals with kids, not even young adult, little kids.
Yeah.
And somehow they've ended up over at the sci-fi section covering for somebody having lunch. And they're like, which one is science fiction? Which one is actual fantasy? Let me look at the back cover.
Well, and
not their product line.
It's not their product line. And I'm sure there's some people thinking, oh, it's not that hard. They should train them, whatever. Okay, maybe. But sometimes they're just literally filling in for somebody who stepped away to go hit the restroom or grab a bite to eat. And if you've got that kind of cavalier attitude of, oh, how hard could it be? I would question if you've ever actually been to Comic-Con. Because we had one exchange late in the day with somebody where you were asking something about a book. And I think both of you were almost having that Darmok at Tanagra kind of a moment in terms of...
I do that a lot.
Words coming out not quite right.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was actually entertaining as heck.
You know...
Well, and it was in our defense. I defended both myself and the person on the other side.
Yeah.
It was 6:45 with the hall closing at 7.
Yes.
It was the end of the day. And I'm pointing at a book and I'm like, so with the books with the tie-ins too. And she's looking at it with kind of a, that's not what I think of as tying into.
Yeah. There was just a turn of phrase that if you knew what it meant, you knew what it meant. But if you weren't expecting it,
and
it was kind of funny because it's such a potentially brain frying experience, particularly if you've been working at a booth or walking the whole floor or whatever.
Well, I was asking you, can we be on the press list for these books? Because we'd like to know more about when they're coming out and stuff. And I pulled out the card and she's like, press list, don't have one right now. Some of the words you said don't fit with how I think of this book, but we should have a press list. And it was just, she was working back through what I said.
And in fairness, it was a non-common question on standard.
Yes. And that's part of how con has evolved over the 28 years. They no longer have the trade show where that would be a common part. And we could be doing this.
There are aspects right now where I really wish they had the trade show.
Yeah.
Because that would give a lot more time to go talk with certain people, have certain discussions that are hard to find the time with everybody to do on the hall floor and sometimes not appropriate to do in that kind of setting.
It's increasingly feeling inappropriate to have the business conversations. And yet twice today when I pulled out the card and said, you know, we'd really like more information. We'd like to be able, both of those times, the person I was handing the card to, I said, I'm actually the right person to receive that card. This yeah. is great.
Yeah.
And one of them went on to say, you know, you're not even having to hope somebody gets it to me.
Well, it's funny because there have been a lot of past years where I have gone through just tons of business cards. Hey, I want to get on the press list. Hey, you know, I'd like to help you out with doing reviews and getting the word out about your book or promoting your book on the preview spotlight or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, you're a retailer. I can get the word out to people in your area, you know. And they take it and then nothing ever happens.
One person today was really interested in the podcast. Showed him the card. He kind of looked at me and he's like, one moment. Pulls out his phone, took a picture of it. And he's like, I'm sure you can always stand to keep hold of these. But it was just kind of, you could see that recognition of, I don't actually need one more thing to lose track of. I'll keep track of the picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure we've all had the experience of, I wish I had just that one more business card to hand out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised, and I think we talked about it some yesterday, is how many people just don't bring business cards.
Yes.
I think it's understandable, mm-hmm. but it's unfortunate. When I started walking the hall floor, I started with Artist Alley, and part of how I could get through the entire floor today is not my first rodeo. Mm. Been to this convention for forever and a day, and it's pretty easy for me at a glance to know I don't need to spend any time at this table, this booth, this artist, this vendor.
But you skipped one mom zone and I ended up going for your poster.
There are times it's not worth my time because of the crowds. I'll admit I did not spend much time at the DC Warner Brothers booth.
Well, and based on we were exchanging text messages. Based on the text you sent me, I kind of wonder if you stopped one mob scene before where there was absolutely nobody and I went right up to no line and got the poster.
I tried to get, there was the Pops Diner thing mm-hmm. at that end, which is what I thought it was, but I even went one further.
It was after Pops Diner. And then before there was an area with stuff going, right after Pop Steiner, there was a go in. And to the left, it was right by the guys trying to get you to sign up for a credit card. Because
I got to the guys signing up for the credit card.
Go through them a sharp left and hidden okay. at a podium as a guy doing posters for DC Universe people. I didn't think
it was that deep into it, so I didn't go in.
It was into the booth.
Okay. I was surprised by the DC part of the DC booth. And I need to go look at the map again. I was thinking it was, there's Funko over in the corner. Mm-hmm. Then there's a square booth that I hope is not DC. Mm-hmm. Because it is like samurai versions of Flash and mm-hmm. Batman and Superman. And it's like, I don't know what these are and what it has to do with DC or whatever. But then the next thing over, you start to get to this bland white mm-hmm. thing.
There are facing out there. There's a place where people do some signings. Mm-hmm. And allegedly you can get some pins and stuff like that. But the way they have it set up, if you don't have something you want signed by the people signing, you kind of feel awkward going for the pin.
Well, there was no stage, no video of the artists doing their stuff. Mm-hmm. There was no real sign of them being a comic book publisher. Granted, they had the signings off on the side, but a table with people
yeah.
autographing, to me...
Mm-hmm. Is anything.
Is anything.
Any industry has people signing autographs, well, so I get that.
Vendors, publishers,
yeah.
So many different types of booths.
I was thinking movies, television, comics.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
Absolutely.
And then back on the back wall, or facing the back wall, I should say, there were a bunch of toys.
Yeah.
Which to me, yes, they're DC toys, but it doesn't scream DC comics.
If you were to take the crowd away so you could actually get to the full booth and walk around that bottom floor of it, top floor being their office space, we're not allowed anyways. Walk around that bottom floor of it, and even treating this as an open book quiz, do you think you could answer the question of what titles does DC currently publish?
No. I mean, I could tell you two shows they think they stream. And I say it that way because I'm aware of Doom Patrol but until I saw the Young Justice poster today, I don't think I realized that was on the streaming service.
Mm-hmm. But even that, that's the DC Universe streaming service.
And that's what I was saying.
We've got the toy line, which is the toy side of it.
Yeah.
I really was not seeing much of a sign that DC still publishes comics. Now, granted, I want to also be clear, the Marvel booth's been that way to a degree for a while, but even they have more evidence of comic publishing.
I did not see anything comic-sized, even if it wasn't an actual genuine comic being given away.
Much in the way of comic art?
No.
Because there's some of that at the Marvel booth. Granted, it's for like the video game or something. But, and I need to spend a little more time at that booth to really assess if that's, because when I was there at one point, they were doing the Veronica Mars signing. When I was there at one or two other points, they had some other people. I had one time, I was coming out of the men's room in the back, trying to get back over to walk the hall floor. And stay back. And this entourage of celebs walked by. And I'm not entirely sure who all it was, because I'm like, what the hell's going on first? But I think the guy who did, I want to say Powers Booth is his name. He's a voice actor, but we've also seen him in various shows. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he was in Supergirl at one point. He was one of them, and there was one or two I could almost recognize, but I didn't have any context for, you know, which show is this for or whatever.
Interesting.
But there's an aspect where it does get a little annoying for the security, just back, you know, like it's suddenly a Hollywood moment or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if it's just, hey, we need to clear the way to let some people through or whatever. But the way it was presented was not as graceful as it could have been. And they're just doing their job. I get it. But it was funny because I think some other fans were like trying to follow them out into the loading dock area. And no, can't let that happen. Well, you don't really have control over the situation now, do you?
Yeah.
So I started zigzagging up and down from the back of the hall to the front, and then it got to the point where that just wasn't going to work. So I started just zigzagging, you know, block by block. Mm-hmm. So I think I hit everything. I might have missed and gotten confused. Certainly when you're coming around the corners, it's easy to see some stuff versus others. But I got down to aisle 2800, which is the dividing line between the old and the new section, stayed on the upper side of that until I'd done everything, and then did that first block of booths towards Harbor Drive all the way down, the next block all the way back. We might have met up for a little bit at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I did the waterside block, and then that skipping over the small press that I'd already done. And that was when I think I talked with Maxwell Alexander Drake for a bit, because he's on the end wall, back wall there. And then I did that final block and got through the whole thing. And it was interesting because, man, so much of it is I've either seen this booth before or booth like it before. And I am willing to be sold stuff. I've got a wide variety of things I'm willing to be sold. But when it's, this is just another toy vendor. Yep, they've got action figures. They've got Funkos. Not really much in what I need. I'm good on those. Okay, fine. Oh, they got Japanese stuff. Nah, doesn't seem to have any Super Sentai. Okay, move on. You know, or it's, mm-hmm. It's just more variant covers for comics or, you know, things like that. Or it's steampunk. Although I didn't see as much steampunk and costuming as I've seen before.
No, I don't think so.
The gaming booth, Atlas Games or whatever it was not there.
Interesting.
Did not see as many booths for dice in that part of the hall, the Artist Alley end of the hall.
I find that interesting because I heard several people talking about tabletop gaming. It's some years you hear people, they're basically saying tabletop games and board games are dead. Everything's gone digital. Other years,
I don't think they're dead, but I don't. There used to be, like, it felt like an entire block where one side of it was every type of dice you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I don't recall that today. Now, I will admit, there does come a point where when you look at a few, you know, hundred, probably a few thousand booths, it blurs together.
And trying to see them between the people.
Yes. And I found this year the people suddenly stopping, cutting in front of me, jostling me. I had a couple of times I got, you know, bumped into, and it's like, that was not fun. And people don't realize when you've got a big backpack on, it adds a foot to 16 inches behind you.
Yeah.
And I had one time where somebody was just churning and just about batters me. Another time where with these huge toy bags, they were talking to somebody swinging, just about knocked my legs out from underneath.
At one point, I was in a line and a family, a husband, wife, and kid came up behind me to join the line. And I look back, I know this kid, he's an 8-year-old. I'm like, yep, we've all been that height. That's not fun. And I took the bags off my shoulders and moved them down to between my legs. And the mom kind of looked at me and I'm like, he doesn't want to accidentally get whacked by my bags. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's so thoughtful.
I had a couple of times the people standing in front of me as I'm trying to get down an aisle, not only had backpacks, but they had like a poster or in one case, like a wall hanging. The key difference being there's a physical bar kind of thing to it. And as they're turning back and forth to look at stuff, I'm like wondering if I'm going to get bashed.
Yes.
There's an aspect of situational awareness that I think a lot of people don't really think about. Mm-hmm. So I did find part of it is just I want to get from where I'm at to where I want to be a little faster than the crowd would allow. And I didn't see any comic, i.e. creator, small publisher, where it's like, I need to look closer at that. I can think of two booths in the small press area, that part of the hall, that caught my eye. One had a really nice poster, it was about $60, of Legion of Superheroes characters. Good, in my opinion, not $60. Good. Mm-hmm. Don't have a place to put it. The art wasn't quite tight enough. If I were going to spend that, it's got to be name Legion artist kind of a thing. But it caught my eye and I paused for that. And then one of the ones that I saw the other day, I guess that would have been in the small exhibitor area. But the one I saw in small press or whatever, somebody had kind of pinup shots of the various Power Ranger helmets.
Ah, nice.
And that's one of those where they had a box where you could just kind of flip through and I kept going. They kept having different Rangers and I'm like, this could add up.
Fellow fan.
Yeah. So I thought that was a smart move on his part. I did not see as much Power Ranger stuff as I've seen in past years.
Did you see a booth for Power Morphicon?
I did, but okay. I never stopped there because the two times I went by it, one time they had, I think it was one of the either Operation Overdrive Rangers signing stuff. It's like, okay, just enough of a crowd. I didn't want to deal with it. And then they had later the original Black Ranger.
Yeah.
And again, just enough of a crowd. I didn't want to deal with. But I do want to go back there, talk with them. I did pick up their flyers, so I've got the dates and stuff, because that was in Freebie area, and I did that, preview night or the yesterday morning, probably yesterday morning.
I haven't hit the Freebie table, but when...
It was a ghost town.
When I did it last year, it was basically nothing but paper and postcards.
It was all postcard type stuff and an abysmal selection. There have been some past years where there's tons of stuff up there.
There was a year, and I mean 5-10 years ago, maybe more, where that's where we got the True Blood backpacks.
Yes.
And it was a drawstring backpack. It had a book, a t-shirt, and something else in every backpack.
There were some where you could get either some comics or, you know, full page. Here's the Frankensons brochure or flyer for the next one they're doing. You know, other local kind of mini conventions and such. Mini compared to San Diego.
I mean, this totally dates the story, but when DVDs first came out, the people who had put Hercules on VHS sent just boxes of the VHS tapes for the Freebie table.
I went through it, I guess, yesterday morning on the way to the panel because I was going through the sales area. Picked up a handful of things, but not much. Mainly the Power Morphicon postcards and really not much else. And the funny thing is, there's a ton of things that could have and arguably should have been there. One of the things I picked up that I would have put up there is I went to the Comic-Con Museum.
Ah, yes. That should have been up there.
And it's... I haven't had a chance to read through it, but they've apparently got 5 tiers of membership, charter memberships you can get, you know, everything that includes at the $12,000 plus range.
$1,000 or 100?
Sorry, 100. $1,200. It's still more than it should be. You get an invitation to annual gathering. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it's if you get tier 2, $50 or more, you get unlimited general admission for 1 year after museum opening, which is interesting because the thing's not going to open until 2021. Because they've got the pop-up museum, 2020, I guess they're doing the groundbreaking, which I don't know what ground they got to break. They've got a physical building. And then 2021, they open the doors. It was funny because I was there and they're like, hey, we've got it open. I'm like, great. So I can do that after I leave here tonight. It's only open till 7, which is the same hours as the exhibit hall. Okay. How do I get there? I can, you know, basically told them all on foot.
Can I grab one of your shuttles?
Where can I get the shuttle? Oh, we don't have a shuttle to it. You can get on the trolley, stop here, get on this bus, get over, and then walk. I'm like, well, that sounds convenient. I was nicer than that.
Yeah, yeah. But it's frustrating.
If this is a con-related thing, mm-hmm. why the hell don't you have it open to where those of us at the convention can actually go to it? And why isn't there a shuttle? Yeah. I was disappointed. I was not surprised, but I was disappointed. And I picked up one or two other things. I did get some information on the Hero Initiative, because that's always a good cause worth supporting. There was a demo of ZBrush, which is a 3D sculpting tool, over near Artist Alley, as were a couple of other art supply sort of places. Swung by Wacom, I think it was, picked up a 50% off for Clip Studio Paint. I think I did that before I got Clip Studio Paint.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. And then when I was in Artist Alley, picked up the postcard for Season 2 of Uniques. I need to see either if I need to support this on Patreon or what all I've got versus what they've done. This is Adam and Comfort. Uniques is a very Teen Titans-ish, but not in a derivative kind of way. It's got the same feel and style to it. So if you like Titans, you might want to think about it. And I just picked up a couple of other things here and there. As I was walking the floor. When I was over at the humanoids thing, they had a sampler. Like, oh, the creators of this are right there. You should get it signed. You should get it signed. You should get it signed. So I got it signed. And yeah, I've got nothing against getting stuff signed, but it's not that big of a deal to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I
get that.
Yeah. But having walked the entire hall floor with the ability to... I'm not going to say I could have bought anything I would have wanted. I mean, you get to the original art stuff and stuff like that beyond, even if I could afford it, more than I can justify.
I was going to say I'd go bankrupt if I bought everything I wanted. Yeah. That's why I go in with a take notes, make a wish list, and then buy it on a budget for the rest of the year.
But there are things that could have qualified for impulse purchases. Hey, that's cool. I haven't seen that. I want that. It's mm-hmm. only $20 or, you know, whatever yeah. kind of a deal, that category. Nothing. And I walked the entire hall floor. Now, I didn't scour every booth, mm-hmm. but there were a few booths that made me think, you know what? I really need to spend more time with this one.
Yeah.
There was the one we stopped by the other day that had some Sentai-ish stuff. Its selection was pretty weak. I'm sure I buy through them online anyways, but I didn't see anything either in terms of process books, in terms of comics, trades, toys, anything.
Yeah.
And part of it is, yeah, I got plenty of stuff as it is, and I've been cutting back a little in general. But there have been other years where, you know, oh, MakerBot's there with a 3D printer 5-10 years ago. Ooh, I got to check this out. Or, you know, here's some other 3D tools. And there are various... vendors that have stopped doing booths. Matter of fact, I don't even recall seeing a panel this year for Comic Base, the other 3D, or not 3D, the other comic inventory tool, which I think is just a good program, but way expensive and doesn't do what I need. So there are a lot of things that I think are falling by the wayside and getting replaced with more movie and TV studios and less comic book content related stuff.
I can see that.
And the convention's got to evolve and grow over time. I totally get that. But there are certain things that came in for a little bit and went away. And some of it never should have come in. You know, I forget how many years ago, 5, 10, 20, when they had the anatomically correct X-rated action figure booth on like the main center aisle. And I'm like, I don't know what made them think of that. I did see just enough content that I would not consider family friendly that I was surprised, not to that level of outrageousness. But I'm not sure what is the overall target demographic, because it used to be, again, in the higher number aisles in past years, you would have a ton of places that had swords or kilts or steampunk outfits or other more fantasy-ish sort of things. Didn't see much of that.
There are four of the book publishers giving out kids' books. One of them is Scholastic, which for me, I mean, that's kind of a flashback to childhood.
Yeah.
So I
like... And I'm good with them being there. I think they should be.
I think it's really cool that they're there. And I met one kid today who was bouncing up and down excited that he not only got a book for free at Scholastic, but the author signed it to him.
Cool. That's good.
And yeah, I love seeing an under 10-year-old that excited about a book. Abrams is where we were stopping to ask about some of the tie-in books.
Because they had a book that was...
Arrow and Flash.
Arrow and Flash. And it seemed like it might have been based on the first crossover they did.
See, and silly me, I was referring to it as a DC tie-in, and they were thinking of it as a CW tie-in.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the whole miscommunication.
That's the kind of thing, if they had had somebody there, because I think that would be interesting for us to read and review.
And that was why I was giving them the card, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I pointed out to her, we review the TV shows, we review anything we think the audience would like, and crossing mediums. And so I'm very curious about those books.
And it's funny, because on the one hand, I really don't mind paying for content to review it and stuff. On the other hand... There's a ton of stuff, particularly at this kind of a venue.
We'd go broke if I bought everything I'd like to review at this venue.
Absolutely, and we're not going to have time to review it all. Yes. So there's a certain amount of how strongly do they feel about their content.
There's also a, even if they just get us on a list where we're finding out what's coming out when and how often for those things.
Yeah.
Because this is either the second or the third year I've seen them have books that tie into the CW shows. And at first I was like, okay, is this actually going to be an ongoing thing? Or is this a, we're, you know, throwing it out there to test the concept, but we're not sure it's going
to
work.
Well, I'd love to get on kind of the advanced alert list for like the Star Trek novels and stuff like that. Of just, hey, here's what's going to come out in a couple of months. Just so we could budget our time, if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked up more books than we have time to talk about, of course, but three of the books I thought were interesting enough to mention. Felicia Day with Embrace Your Weird, just kind of her, you know, guide to accept yourself. She was signing them. What was funny was I am just geek enough that when she said, would you like it personalized? I'm like, yeah, but online I'm not. And she goes, I'm like, yeah, so will you, you know, autograph it to my avatar? And she's like, oh my God, high five. It's like, you remember my past work. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was just fun.
She's legitimate geek.
Yes, yes. Well, and it was funny because when she, every single person at the end, she's like, and please, if you like it, review it on Amazon. And I'm like, yeah, that's my Amazon name. She's like, your avatar's your Amazon name and I love it.
Cool.
So that was kind of cute. One of them is apparently soon to be a motion picture called The Last Human.
Hmm.
And it's about robots have eliminated humans right up until a robot meets a 12-year-old and suddenly discovers maybe humans weren't eliminated after all.
Interesting.
So that one is from Amulet Books by Abrams.
Okay.
And just sound interesting.
Do we know who's going to be in the movie?
I do not.
Be worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one worth mentioning, which I actually ended up talking with the author for a few minutes, it's a Walking Dead novel called Typhoon.
It's Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead Typhoon by Wesley Chu.
Yes, and it's set in China, which I thought was kind of interesting. And he, by the way, thinks I'm a good sister.
Because?
It's autographed to you.
Oh, I hadn't realized that.
It's supposed to be autographed to you.
There it is.
Thank you.
Will you die for the... I can't make out the...
Well, it was at the end of the signing.
No, I'm not blaming his penmanship. I just...
Yeah.
It's my eyesight. At some point, there's going to be more Walking Dead material not written by Kirkman than written by Kirkman. It's about a 380-page book, so...
Yeah. I just thought it had potential, given you've been talking about Walking Dead a bit lately and where the comics were at, that you might find it interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a... I'm curious if it is tying into... Well, white-knuckled high-stakes thriller set in the expansive world of Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead, the worldwide comic, video game, and television show phenomenon set in China. I'm curious which continuity, if any, it belongs in, or does it matter? Because obviously there are, I think, differences between the TV and the comics.
Yes, yes, out definitely. Out of necessity. Simon & Schuster made me laugh. They are well read, so they gave me four red crayons.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you. I just thought that was cute.
I thought it was an editing kit.
Yeah. Oh, childhood memories. I am determined to get someone other than Captain America or...
So this is another of the Artifacts premiere from Kotobukiya.
Yes. I'm glad somebody can say their company name.
It's like I couldn't pull it out and then suddenly it drops to the floor. I got Thor. So they have more than two cards.
Are you sure about that? Because I got my third Captain America.
That's funny.
Okay, now all I'm saying is I know Phil Coulson adored Captain America cards, but at three for three.
If we had an Iron Man one, we'd have most of the original Avengers at that point, other than Ant-Man and Wasp.
That's a very good point. I also went through the Diamond Spin-A-Wheel line, and I got a blind bag toy, I guess they're officially called.
It's a Batman black and white. And let's see if I can... They have a cardboard thing around the figure just to make it easier to not get out.
Oh, you got Batman.
Well, yeah, they're pretty much all Batman.
Four Batmans.
This is the... Probably the Gary Frank one.
Bottom right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a Frank Quietly Robin, a John Romita Jr. Batman, a Mike Allred Batman, a Eduardo Risso Batman, and then the Gary Frank one, and a mystery villain by Bruce Timm, which I would think would either be Joker or Harley. Should be Harley.
I went through the Stars booth line twice, and the second time I was behind the person who got the survival kit, so at least I know they really give them out. The other thing I have, which it actually takes two hands, I think. Really,
a flip book?
Yeah. A really nice lady gave this to me. And they have a nonprofit they've set up. It's a bunch of professional animators. She'd been in animation for 30 years. And they want kids to understand that your art doesn't have to be fancy or complicated.
Yeah.
And anyone can be an artist. It's something any of us can do. And the other thing they've done to help get the parents on board is like they have a graphic so that the kids understand what it is. I want to say it was a chore chart, but instead of saying laundry, it's got a picture of laundry.
Got it.
And stuff like that. And I just stumbled on to her talking to this little 4 or 5 year old about, do you think you can draw? No, I'm just a kid. I can't draw. And one of the ones she had was just a very simple face with a very simple stick figure flower, and the face eats the flower, and it's actually two-sided. It flips both directions.
Oh, interesting.
But you don't turn it upside down. But then you flip one way, it eats the flower. When you flip it the other way, it realizes the flower tasted really bad and spits it out.
Ah.
But it's just very simple way.
It gets the idea across that almost anyone can be a creator.
Yes. Yeah. So for me, it was just fascinating to see someone taking the time when they ran into random kids to say, you know, you could be doing this too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a free art book that they give out to kids through the web.
Cool. So free download, yeah.
Yeah, it's at edudesigns.org/blog/artbook. How complicated.
Cool.
So anyway, I thought that was really cool. I was fascinated listening to her, in part because she's really good with the kids. She was saying they go to a lot of schools, do the presentation.
Comic-Con's a good place to inspire kids to be creative, to enjoy storytelling, to start reading, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a fair number of kids at Con. There's a fair number of... there is no one demographic at Con.
I met today at least 4 kids under the age of 11 who were amazed someone would give them an entire book for mm-hmm. free. And when I would say, well, which booth did you get that from? Did you know there are other booths giving away kids' yeah. books too? And they're like, there are. And their parents would turn to me and say, please tell us, where's the booth? Which publisher, you know, because they're loving that their kids are getting turned on to books. The parents aren't having to invest in, we don't know if they're going to like the book or not.
Yeah.
The publishers are letting them try it and discover what they like. And that's great for the kids.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for if the publishing entity stands behind their material, mm-hmm. they'll get it out to a market.
Yeah.
And they can't give it all away. They got to make money. I get that.
Definitely. But
this is a good time to get people a taste of your material.
If you give me the first in series and you hook me, I'll buy the rest of the series. It's my nature.
Well, like the Arrow Flash crossover book, even if they couldn't give us the whole thing, if they'd had here's the first chapter, you know, to hand to us or something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That might be enough to say, you know, we got to read more, or maybe not for us, or whatever. So I was... surprised I was able to pretty much, again, other than small press that I already had done, to walk the entire floor mm-hmm. today.
I will say one of the funniest comments I heard from someone behind a booth was when they were having to very cleverly pull together an item from their right, an item from their left, an item from in front of you, and a rubber band, bundle them together, hand it to the person next in line, rinse, repeat. And it's kind of a, and I went to college for this. And part of why they were saying that was because they were failing at the grab a single rubber band and accidentally throwing 2 or 3
yeah.
periodically. And they're like, and just remember, kids, I went to college for this. As I got up to them, I'm like, at least you're not talking about how in debt you got going to college for this.
There have been a few people that we've encountered this year at Con that, whether they had said it or not, seem to have the, are we done yet, near the end of the day? Because this thing opens at, like, officially 9:30. I think they sometimes open the doors as early as 9. And yeah. by the time 7 o'clock rolls around.
Yeah. Well, and this lady was funny because she actually looked at me and she said, I actually came out of college debt free. You're right. I have reason to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you are lucky. But it was just the reactions different people have to the job they're doing. I've seen a few people at booths who almost wished they were at different booths.
I can understand that.
You know, a few people who, I love what I'm doing, but I wish I could see more of what's walking right by me.
Yes. There are a lot of the people going to convention don't realize that the people working the convention are kind of landlocked to their little chunk.
Yeah.
And there's so much more going on that just being able to, hey, I want to go check out what's going on at this booth or what this person has or whatever, they sometimes just can't.
Well, someone asked me if... because I was telling them we did the Star Trek transport, and they said, well, when you were there, did you get your Picard poster? I said, no. They didn't have any. They didn't offer any. And they said, well, they have them. I said, well, that's interesting. So I went back by there, and I said, I heard you had Picard posters, but maybe you didn't have them when we were here? And he said, well, they're only for people who sign up for CBS All Access. I said, but if I signed up for it a year and a half ago, I don't get a poster? And he said, well, if you can prove to me you signed mm-hmm. up, I'm like, well, I can pull out my phone and I can log in. He's like, that would be adequate proof.
Yeah.
So I sat there and I'm like, I'm sitting here burning through my data plan. Not that, you know, I don't have data, but there are so many things where you have to do this here. I like the guy at one booth who's like, you have to go to the website, you have to pull up the QR code, you have to do this every day of the con. However, from this day forward, we will accept a screenshot.
Yeah.
Because you did it the first day in front of us. I'm like, thank you, that's... And he's like, it's going to be faster for you, it's going to be less data, it's easier for us. I'm like, okay, that I like.
Yeah, there's some times where they've got to have you jump through a hoop or two to make sure that they've gotten the intent of their marketing. Yes. And that's fair.
I understand they're wanting you to be a legit paying customer and that they want to reward their paying customers. But there's also an aspect of like when we went to Fan Expo in Toronto and we had no data because we were on international cell phone thing.
Yes.
So we were sitting there at various booths going, okay, how can we do this with Wi-Fi when we don't have Wi-Fi in the convention center because we don't have data?
When I got up to the Hasbro Pulse booth through the line on Wednesday, I had tried using Wi-Fi in the convention center. It wasn't having anything. And I'd gotten the barcode to pull up, but it didn't have the rest of the graphic to show what the barcode was for.
Yeah.
It's a little bad on them to be so graphic intensive on an email. And, you know, arguably, maybe I should have printed it out or whatever. But again, the timing on this, I haven't had a printer for a while. Granted, maybe I could use the one here at the hotel, but hoop, hassle.
But you had to sit there hitting display details.
Yeah.
So that it would show.
Actually, I had to take it off Wi-Fi and use the cell phone service.
Yeah.
But it's funny because there are certain times where I wonder, like in past, there have been the scavenger hunt, go here. It's like, what's the point of this if you've got people racing by, getting a stamp, and racing off? Versus, like this year, Hasbro's plan for Power Rangers was, we're going to go do a panel. At the panel, we're going to announce all the things that are going to be in pre-order in, like, 45 minutes after the panel's over. And I am sure they had a really good night on that website.
Yes. There's one booth that has a password to get something. But the password is not sufficient. You have to show them the place you got the password from on your phone.
Yeah.
And like, on the one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, not everybody has unlimited data on their phone.
Yeah. I think there's different marketing approaches to have. And there's some that are, I think, a little more fan friendly than others. And I haven't seen as many this year, although the DC Universe poster is one, where it's a go back to the booth every day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I walked the entire hall today, and I'd had time to redo a small press if I'd needed to. But
they did explain part of that one to me, which was simply a limitation of space at booth.
Absolutely, and there's certain logistical issues on some of that stuff.
Because I asked, is there any chance? And they're like, the other posters haven't been delivered to the booth yet because we only had so much room. And I'm like, yep. I should have thought of that. That makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, I apologize for my ditzy moment.
But there are times where it's like, I don't want to have to get near certain booths at certain times and they're going to have a massive signing. I just don't even want to be that part of the hall. Mm-hmm. And if I'm over at DC trying to get over to that Power Morphicon booth on the other end of the convention center, that's a 15-minute time just to walk over there. And that's assuming not bad foot traffic. So there's that. I think there are different mentalities to have on how to successfully market at a convention. But I think the idea should be, do what you need to reasonably drive traffic to your booth. Make sure it's worth it for them to get there. And that whenever they get there during the convention, they're always welcome to come back. But you're not trying to cheat them into coming back, if you will.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I think Maxwell Alexander Drake does a really good job. It's like, hey, you like what I'm telling you at the thing? I've got my books. I got somebody in the back. He can take cash. You want to pay credit card? Come down to the booth. I'm set up for it there. And I've sold X of the books that I brought. There's only so much space, so much I could bring in, you know. Yeah. And setting expectations. Mm-hmm. And kind of, if I'm out, get it online kind of a thing. There are options.
Yes.
But it's not one of those, you've got to come right now, right there, do it, you know, hoop, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a thing. And it's funny because I did notice the Con Ranger booth doesn't seem to still have a line. I don't know if they're out of the exclusive or if it was just the people worried about the exclusive running out or what's going on.
I wondered if it was either of those things or simply the push of publicity that they got by being on the Con website. People thought more people were going to be going there.
Yeah. Every time I've been by, which has only been a few times, they've always had people?
Yes.
But just in front of the booth? In other words, they're not vacant.
Yeah. One of the families I was talking to today, I was asking them if they'd shown their son the patches. And they said, you know, the father was saying, I thought those were great. I really thought he'd get into it. And he took one look and he goes, eh. And he said, I don't get it. I said, well, what's he been drawn to? And he said, the free enamel pins. He's like kid in a candy store with his lanyard is covered all the way around in pins. I said, you know, the pins he can take off. He can move to the backpack for school.
Yes, there's anywhere. A flexibility in a...
And the patches, once you put them somewhere, you're committed.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I hadn't thought of that. So I did meet one person who they came with one other person. So as a result, they got two of the four collectible pins with the badges in the mail. They had gone over and bought the other two pins. Mm-hmm. So to them, the four con collectible pins were something that mattered.
I will say one booth I didn't really spend any time at because there was just enough of a crowd in front of it that I didn't feel like dealing with it, that I don't know that I would spend money at, but I'm curious what they had, is there's one on the back wall that has a bunch of just various patches.
Mm.
You know, Stargate, Star Trek, Star Wars sorts of things. But it's, given I think how I feel I'm easily marketable to,
yeah,
the fact that I didn't come out of today thinking there's new stuff I need to be reading, or new toys I just had to have, or, you know, whatever. I was a little, I don't say disappointed with that. I wasn't thoroughly surprised by it. It's not like it's a new thing. But compared to previous years where it's, I've picked up so many comics or whatnot. And there were one or two things I thought about picking up, but quickly doing the weight of how heavy is it? Mm-hmm. Where in the hall am I? How far do I have to get it? And stuff. And the, I think I can get this on Amazon.
Yeah.
But even that, there wasn't a whole lot. And I'm going to check it on Amazon, and depending what I think, either get it there or maybe go back to the booth.
Yeah. There's one more or two books I haven't ruled out picking up. But like I said, if I start buying, I run the risk of buying everything I want and going broke. And budgeting over the course of the year, for me, tends to be the wiser plan.
No, I think for you it is. There have been some years in the past where it's, ooh, I'd never seen that before. I've got to have. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening. You know, and part of it is I've got more stuff. I've got less room for stuff.
Well, you know, again, dating the story, but when I was in college, the movie posters to put on the dorm room wall.
Yeah.
And part of what I liked was we would see the movie posters that were kind of the alternative ones to the ones that had been at the theaters.
But I think some of it also is there have been some times where you walk down an aisle and somebody's got a really, oh, wow, I haven't seen that poster. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now you just have the, here's a bazillion t-shirts, here's a bazillion toys, here's a...
Yeah.
There's so much chaos in the visual stimuli.
Well, there was one, I want to say it was in the late 90s, because I was out of college and I was like, I'm not sure I really have somewhere I'm going to put a poster. And I was walking with a friend. He's like, where are you dillying with yourself over? And I pointed at the poster and he goes, wow, how did I not see that?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know, right? It doesn't even look like an American movie poster. It might be one of the foreign ones, in fact, but it's, I mean, I loved the movie. It's striking. And I told him the other movie poster I had that I'm like, I think it would look great next to. And he's like, yeah, why are you debating instead of purchasing at this point? Because I'm like, yeah, because there are some that you just look at and you're like, okay, I've got the right combo.
It's funny because there have been a few things that I've seen that are just beautiful. Mm. But like the some of the stuff at the Alex Ross booth, I've now seen it for a decade or more. Or some of the Marvel fine arts stuff. Or
Jason Palmer art. I love looking at that every year, but I have nowhere I would put it. But I mean, I've been looking at his stuff now for over a dozen years.
Yeah.
And I love seeing what he has new every year.
But that reminds me, there was a year or two back over in the Artist Alley side of the hall where we'd seen a poster looking thing that was like a Doctor Who themed kind of, you know, with TARDIS and clocks and calendars and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't see anything like that this year.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, because there was one that you showed me and you're like, if you would watch the show, I could explain this poster to you.
Yes. But there's some years where it's cool stuff, maybe not enough to get me on it then.
Yeah.
But having heard so many people, overhearing so many people today, oh, it's just like it was last year. Same stuff, same place. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not.
Yeah. You know, one of the funniest comments I heard today was some guy, and I will refer to him as some poor guy because I felt so bad for him, at the 6 o'clock hour, give or take, he was ready to make the purchases he would carry to the car. And he was so upset because every booth he was returning to was saying, yeah, I just sold that about 10 minutes ago.
There is an art form to when do you buy what?
Yeah.
And having had that sort of a thing happen once or twice, or not once, in the past, where it's like, oh, I want to go back because that was a good price. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go back to the second. Oh, it's gone. There's a certain amount of, if I really want it, I'll buy it. And I would love to have the ability to go to Comic-Con with like a time travel-ish aspect and just start hopping backwards at cons.
There's part of me that wants to go to con with like the Highlander coat, put your sword away portal. Because, you know, Highlander just always magically pulled the sword out. And you're like where did you keep that?
The Power Ranger morpher pocket in their back.
Yeah.
You know, you just put the hand behind you and you got the morpher.
Yeah. I want that magic portal, so heavy stuff. Portal you go.
There's an aspect of not wanting to lug the heavy stuff around, but there's also an aspect of, you know, I didn't realize I wanted it last year or whatever, yeah. But I'd love to be able to go get this, that, and the other that was... I could almost tell you exactly when and where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the joy and the frustration of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to be there. There's always some cool stuff that you hear about afterwards.
I love the discovery.
Yeah. I do. I just, again, I didn't have that discovery actually happening.
For me, it's with the book publishers. And for me, there hasn't been, I should phrase it that way. So far this con, there has not been that sense of discovery with movies or TV.
Let me put it this way, because for me, with the comics publishers, there's so much in either like at a Dark Horse, a Boom, or an Oni, here are the trades, if you want to buy them, we got them. It's not like how it used to be at Marvel or DC with, oh, you're coming out with this. Oh, you're promoting this. You're going to have this in a couple of months or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no, oh, let me get excited about what's next. And granted, they're announcing some of the stuff. I'm sure it's already on our Slack channel and stuff like that. But when I'm at the DC booth today and I see white walls, I see a generic autograph area, I'm not excited about DC. Yeah. When I go to Marvel and I see Marvel Studios, more than Marvel Comics, I'm not excited about that. When I go to these other publishers and I see variant covers, not here's new projects we're coming out with in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's where there's that lack of discovery.
Yeah.
When the smaller publishers I haven't heard of or don't buy stuff from just can't get their foot in the door sometimes. So I had fun today. It was a productive day. It was a good day. It was an enjoyable day. But it was an inexpensive day, and it's one of the few years where I've covered basically the entire hall. Again, I already covered the small press area, which isn't that big, and I already covered that, but I didn't spend any money on the floor, and I've got it, and if there'd been stuff I'd been legitimately interested in, and there was one year, it's like, ooh, I think it was Thief Geek that had the phaser or whatever. It's like, ooh, yes. It's not available yet, I'll pre-order, whatever, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of things, it's like, that's cool, I gotta have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to where this is not that kind of a convention for me anymore. It hasn't been for a while, generally speaking.
I can see that.
Because even the cool stuff they were announcing at Hasbro, available online.
Yeah.
I didn't need to come for this. Some of it I'd already known about or would have found out about in short order anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Not a problem. Again, glad I got the Clip Studio Paint Pro. Man, that doesn't roll off my tongue well. So I'm glad I went to Haberlin's panel for that. But I was surprised, again, having spent the morning at panels, some time offsite, and then walked through the entire floor. One, because I was able to do it. And two, because my feet are not killing me. They're tired. But I'm doing a lot better on that score.
Good.
And last I had checked my phone, I had walked 13,000 feet or something like that. I mean, crazy
steps.
Amount. Steps.
One of your friends wants to do 100,000 steps during con. I didn't say I agreed with his sanity level. I said that was his goal.
I applaud him for that. I don't think I'll hit that.
No.
But
I don't plan to.
I'm already well over a quarter or a third of the way there.
Yeah, I'm a little scared to see what my step counter says.
Well, we've been rambling for a bit at this point, so I think we'll call it here, try to get some sleep, and see what tomorrow holds. Saturday's usually a busy day, usually big crowds. It does have me worried because I do think the crowds have been heavier this year than in the past.
I felt they were heavier. Some of the exhibitors have told me they didn't feel that way, but I have felt they were heavier.
They were definitely heavier. There were certain parts of the hall, not so much, a lower number comic side, but most of the hall felt a lot more crowded. I had a lot harder time walking the floor, which is why I did not opt to have the camera out.
Yeah. I just wondered if it was just me.
Nope. We'll see how it is tomorrow. Some years it's just a zoo on Saturday. Other years it's really not bad because everyone's afraid it'll be a zoo.
Very true.
So I'm curious which way that pendulum swings this time. So we will go back tomorrow and we'll record again after that.
Sounds good.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.